RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. Indonesia ready to bridge Russian and U.S. relations to combat ISIS. ADB reports Indonesian economy to grow higher than expected. Now the news in detail. Chief of Indonesia National Police Polri, General Tito Karnavian, is ready to bridge the rapprochement between Russia and the United States, particularly to combat ISIS militant group, which has become a global security threat. General Tito said that the Syria-based militant group is much more difficult to handle compared to Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Because of competing political agendas of Russia and the U.S., the two major world powers in the world-affected country. After receiving a medal from the Minister of Interior Affairs of Russia, handed over by Russian Federation Ambassador to Indonesia, Michael Galushin, in Jakarta on Tuesday, General Tito said that the police hope that Russia and the U.S. get rid of their difference in local politics in Syria. When it comes to politics, there will be endless discussion because these two countries are opposite to each other, which in turn benefits ISIS. The existence of ISIS is a threat to the international security, not only because of their acts of terrorism in many countries, but also because of their influence in recruiting foreign terrorist fighters. Indonesia could witness higher than expected economic growth if it could implement a consistent structural reform. That was reported by the Deputy Country Director of Asian Development Bank IDB, Sona Sresta, in Jakarta on Tuesday. Sona said that Indonesia could see an economic growth higher than expected as its growth potential is ranged between 5.5 to 6%. In addition to structural reform, Sresta noted that such high economic growth could be achieved through sustainable development of infrastructure efforts to narrow skill gap. An economic growth of 5.6% in 2018, as projected by the government, could be reached with some improvement in domestic performance and global economic recovery. She added that the high growth potential is always there, but it should be supported by the government's commitment on sustainable reform and improvement of global environment. The National Logistics Agency, Bulog, has delivered a new import license proposal to import another 51,728 tons of buffalo meat from India. The new import is considered necessary to maintain enough supply of meat until the end of 2017. As of April 2017, Bulog recorded that there are 39,500 tons of meat available in the agency's warehouses. The amount includes 6,800 imported meat arriving on March 2017. The supply is said to be enough to fulfill demands for Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri. Bulog Commercial Director Febrianto said in Jakarta on Friday that now the agency is currently gradually importing processed 55,728 tons of meat until the end of December 2017. The buffalo meat will be imported in stages to prevent backlogging imports. He also said that there will be 5,000 tons of meat coming in the next May 2017. Indonesian Transportation Ministry has offered investment in some transportation infrastructure projects to Australia as part of bilateral cooperation under the Indonesian Transport Safety Assistance Package that has been running since a decade. The Ministry's Secretary General Sugi Harjo informed reporters on the sidelines of Forum on Indonesian-Australia Transportation in Jakarta on Tuesday that the Ministry will renew the Memorandum of Understanding not only for developing sea and air transportation but other infrastructure as priority. The investment will cover infrastructure projects to develop ports, airports and railway networks under the Government-Private Cooperation Scheme, GPS. Currently, Sugiharjo said the two countries' cooperation has solidly focused on transportation safety, especially for developing the capacity of human resources. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In addition to strengthening cooperation, economic and trade, the visit of International Trade Minister of United Kingdom, Leon Fox, to Indonesia on 6 April also aims to provide the latest information following the enactment of Article No. 50 on Brexit. At the Indonesian Maritime and Fishery Ministry building in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Leon Fox explained that to the media, after leaving the European Union, the United Kingdom has an agenda to broaden cooperation with other countries. He stated that ASEAN will be the center of future economic development, therefore the UK will continue to strengthen mutually beneficial cooperation with Indonesia in order to encourage free trade. Mr. Leon Fox further explained Indonesia is a country with strong economic growth and dynamism. Indonesia is the United Kingdom's main trading partner in Southeast Asia. The UK is keen to enhance cooperation with Indonesia because the government of Indonesia is committed to open markets and free trade agenda in the world. Amid the rampant protectionism action, Mr. Leon Fox is grateful to be able to cooperate with the Indonesian paper of free trade. This visit is the first one of Leon Fox to Indonesia and be part of Southeast Asian tour. In his visit, the minister also visited the Fox Project Light Rapid Transit, which is supported by United Kingdom's company for Asian Games in 2018. Five memoranda of understanding were produced at the meeting between President Joko Widodo and the visiting president of Afghanistan, Muhammad Ashraf Ghani, at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon. The MOU consists of cooperation agreement in the fields of education, agriculture, bureaucratic reform, statistics, and fiscal policy. After the meeting, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia appreciates the efforts taken by the Afghan government to create stability and peace.
Dalam pertemuan bilateral yang baru saja berlangsung, kami telah membahas beberapa isu.
In this bilateral meeting, we talk about several issues. First is about peace-building cooperation. Indonesia appreciates every effort done by Afghan government in creating stability and peace. Indonesia is ready to share experience on reconciliation for peace.
Indonesia berbagi pengalaman mengenai rekonsiliasi untuk perdamaian.
Meanwhile, Afghan President Muhammad Ashraf Ghani expressed his appreciation to Indonesia as the world's biggest Muslim country that always helps reconciliation process in Afghanistan. In increasing cooperation in education sector between the two countries, President Ashraf Ghani suggested an Islamic ulama exchange program. Afghanistan considers Indonesia as a big country that has good image across the world. The last item. There were no Indonesian citizens among the victims of Metro subway bomb attack in St. Petersburg, Russia on last Monday, April 3, 2017. This was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to Russian Federation and Belarus Republic and Wahid Supriyadi in an interview via telephone with the Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday, 6 April. Ambassador Wahid added the Indonesian embassy had confirmed the safety of Indonesian people. After communicating with Indonesian citizens across Russia and checking information on Indonesia provided by Crisis Center of Russian Foreign Affairs Ministry, the Indonesian ambassador also said that the situation had returned normal and the transport services are normal. Nevertheless, Indonesian embassy still urged all Indonesian citizens across Russia to stay alert after the bombing.
Kita sedang buat edaran, bukan hanya masyarakat yang di St. Petersburg, tapi juga yang di luar, ya, seluruh Rusia.
We had spread circulars to our people, not only in St. Petersburg, but also across Russia. We urge them to stay alert, especially in a crowded area. Also, if they needed help from the embassy, we give our hotlines and our four staff are ready to help.
hotline dan juga ada 4 staf kita yang setiap saat bisa dihubungi.
The second biggest city of Russia, there are 115 Indonesian citizens consisting of 95 students and 20 workers. The bomb blast killed 14 people and left dozens wounded. However, until now, no group had claimed to be responsible for the attack. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, our commentary today entitled President Duterte's Domestic and Foreign Policy. President of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, has a strong support from the people when he won the presidential election last year. In December last year, Duterte obtained 83% support. But a poll from an agency published on Wednesday showed a decrease of 7%. Now it was just 76% of the Filipinos who still support Duterte. In the government's performance, there is also a decrease of 5% from 83% saying that they were satisfied at the end of last year. The poll was conducted in mid last month and responded by lawmaker Gary Aljano, who proposed impeachment. Gary said that President Duterte violated the law and committed bribery and corruption. Duterte's action in the fight against drugs is considered betraying the public trust because as a result, thousands of people die. President Duterte was also considered not to report his savings. However, it seems that the impeachment proposal may not continue because the Philippines Parliament is occupied by the majority of President Duterte's allies. In addition to patient political crisis, President Duterte also faces disturbance from communist rebels and Muslim militants. To the communist rebels, President Duterte has tried to achieve a permanent ceasefire. The Philippine government and communist rebels met in the Netherlands last month. In the country, President Rodrigo Duterte is under pressure. In a political maneuver, he sent military forces to an uninhabited island in the South China Sea region. Although he might propose China, which claims almost all the region, President Duterte continues his actions. Two reporters at the military camp on the island of Palawan, which is not so far from the disputed Spratly Islands, President Duterte said that he would like to occupy the empty island. The move is intended to increase the military presence in the Philippines in a number of atolls claimed by Manila. Initially, President Duterte tried to have a good non-confrontation with the People's Republic of China, PRC, for the settlement of South China Sea dispute. Possibly President Duterte's approach does not work well. Now he changes his mind by deploying his military forces in the disputed region. Such an approach taken by President Duterte to claim the region is legitimate enough, but there is risk on an open confrontation with PRC. Another risk is the code of conduct that has been painstakingly undertaken by the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. This can be a new problem because PRC is not satisfied with the action taken by the Philippines. Although the regional dispute becomes a bilateral issue between the Philippines and China, Indonesia can play a major role in ASEAN to remind the conflicting parties to prioritize negotiation instead of confrontation. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Let's
Listener, welcome to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the past as recorded in history. We begin with an event on April 7, 1917, Burhanuddin Muhammadiyah, a press figure and independence fighter, was born. Burhanuddin Muhammadiyah was a press figure, freedom fighter, and Indonesian diplomat. He was born in Banda Aceh, April 7, 1917. At 17 years old, Burhanuddin went to Jakarta and studied at Kesatrian Institute led by Dawes Dekker, and he chose journalistic major, although he learned mostly about journalism directly. After graduation, Burhanuddin returned to Medan and became redactor for Sinar Daily newspaper. 1.5 years later, he left for Jakarta and worked in Simpo newspaper as an honorary staff. In the end of September 1945, Diah with his partners such as Yusuf Ishak and Rosian Anwar took arms and tried to seize Japanese publisher Jawa Shimbun, which published Asia Raya Daily. On October 1, 1945, BM Diah established Harian Merdeka newspaper. In 1959, BM Diah became Indonesian ambassador for Czechoslovakia and Hungary. From there, he was moved to England and then Thailand, all with the same position. In 1968, he was appointed by President Suharto as information minister. Finally, Burhanuddin passed in Jakarta on June 10, 1996. For his services, Burhanuddin Muhammadiyah was awarded the nation's third highest civilian honor, Bintang Mahaputra Utama, from the President, Certificate of Merit, and Fighter Medal 1945 from Dewan Harian Nasional Angkatan 45. Listener, we continue with April 7, 1947, Ba'ath Party was established in Damascus. Ba'ath Party was consisted of several political parties representing the political side of Ba'ath movement. Earlier, this party functioned as a pan-Arabic party with branches in several Arabic countries. In 1996, the party was divided into two. One was based in Syria, while the other in Iraq. Both Ba'ath Party had parallel structure in Arab world. Ba'ath Party began having power in Syria on March 8, 1963 until now. The Ba'athis held power in Iraq since February 1968 until 2003. After de facto dismissal of Ba'ath leader Saddam Hussein during Iraqi war in 2003, the government of Iraq forbade Ba'ath Party in June 2003. In Arabic language, Ba'ath means reborn. The Ba'athis belief combines Arabic socialism, militarism, nationalism, and pan-Arabic. Their secular ideology often clashed with other Arab governments in Middle East, which tend to support Islamism and theocracy. We end the segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on April 7, 1948, the World Health Organization was established by the United Nations. The World Health Organization, WHO, was established on April 7, 1948 as a special body of the United Nations. This organization acts as the International General Health Coordinator based in Geneva, Switzerland. With almost 200 member countries, this organization conducts global-scale programs to prevent and exterminate diseases. However, the mission of WHO steps further than merely treating physical illness. The birthday of WHO is also celebrated as the World Health Day. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about the state visit of Afghanistan President Muhammad Ashraf Ghani to Indonesia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received the state visit of Afghanistan President Muhammad Ashraf Ghani at Merdeka Palace on Wednesday, April 5, 2017. It was a very historical trip for both countries because it was the first time of Afghan president to visit Indonesia. President Joko Widodo, in a joint press statement with the President of Afghanistan, Muhammad Ashraf Ghani, said, after the meeting, that it was an honor for Indonesia to receive Afghanistan President Muhammad Ashraf Ghani along with his delegation. President Joko Widodo explained that the two countries have been friends for more than 62 years. According to President Joko Widodo, Afghanistan was the first country to recognize the sovereignty of Indonesia and played an important role making the Asian-African Conference in 1955 succeed. President Joko Widodo explained that so far Indonesia has established Indonesia Islamic Center in Kabul, which also provides a means of education and further development of the Asalam Mosque, which can accommodate 2,500 pilgrims. In the field of capacity building, Indonesia also has provided training for the police and governmental administration. President Joko Widodo also supports the cooperation of the two countries' General Election Commission through the exchange of experience because the Indonesian Election Commission has experience in conducting a peaceful election. President Joko Widodo also said the construction of 16 billion rupiah Indonesian hospital in Afghanistan was set to begin. Meanwhile, President of Afghanistan Muhammad Ashraf Ghani expressed his appreciation for Indonesia's success in the conflict reconciliation. The President of Afghanistan urged the Indonesian government to help in the realization of peace in Afghanistan. President Ghani wants Indonesia to share their experience to maintain peace in the community with various ethnicities, races, and religions. Afghanistan proposed the clerics exchange program between the two countries. Indonesia-Afghanistan bilateral meeting produced five new agreements, namely the cooperation in education, agriculture, statistics, public administration reform, and fiscal policy. Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, mentioned that Indonesia will hand over full scholarships to 100 students from Afghanistan to study in a number of universities in Indonesia. Listener, that was the focus.
Here news a brief read by Rahmana, Chief of Indonesian National Police General Tito Karnavian is ready to bridge the rapprochement between Russia and the United States for good to combat ISIS militant group which has become a global security threat. Indonesia could witness higher than expected economic growth if it could implement a consistent structural reform. The National Logistics Agency Bulat has delivered a new import license proposal to import another 51,728 tons of buffalo meat from India. Indonesian Transportation Ministry has offered investment in some transportation infrastructure projects to Australia as part of the Baltra Cooperation under the Indonesian Transport Safety Assistance Package that has been running since decade. In addition to strengthening cooperation, economic and trade, the visit of International Trade Minister of United Kingdom, Liam Fox, to Indonesia on 5th and 6th April also aims to provide the latest information following the enhancement of Article No. 50 on Brexit. Five memorandum of understanding were produced at the meeting between President Joko Widodo and the visiting President of Afghanistan, Muhammad Ashraf Ghani, at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon. There were no Indonesian citizens among the victims of Metro subway bomb attack at St. Petersburg, Russia on last Monday, April 3, 2017. This was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to Russian Federation and Belarus Republic and Wahid Supriyadi in an interview via telephone with Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday, April 6. That's news and brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment of Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, the culinary art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to a culinary tour in East Java. Stay tuned. Mount Bromo is one of volcanic mountains in East Java. It has 2,329 meters high above sea level and located among four regencies, namely Probolinggo, Pasuruan, Lumajang, and Malang. As an active volcanic mountain, Bromo becomes one of well-known tourism destination places in East Java and always visited by domestic and foreign tourists. The tourists who come to Mount Bromo certainly want to enjoy the beauty scenery of Bromo. Not only enjoying the natural scenery, the tourists certainly can also taste one of typical culinaries of Bromo, namely nasi aron or aron rice. Nasi aron is a unique culinary of Tengger society who inhabit the slopes of Mount Bromo. Note, as the name implies, nasi aron is not made of rice, instead of white corn planted on the slopes of Mount Bromo. Although it seems similar to the white rice, there are many differences between nasi aron and white rice. The nasi aron Tengger make anyone who eat feel full longer. In addition, nasi aron even can last up to a week, and it is getting more tasteful. Listener, it is not easy to make nasi aron, but needs long enough time, about 4 days, to change the white corn becomes nasi aron. To make nasi aron, firstly, it's a process to separate corn kernels from the cob, or the local called dipipil, and pound it, then soak for 4 days. The process will continue by drying process. It also needs long enough time because the slope of Mount Bromo has cool air. Once the corn dry, then it is pounded and strained to become maize powder. The powder is then boiled for 30 minutes. After that, the dough is watered with hot water, then cooked. Nasi aron can be designed into various forms. The Tengger community prefer to make nasi aron form like clench. Usually, nasi aron is served with many side dishes such as tofu, mixed potato and tofu, tempeh, vegetable and fish. Besides delicious and specific taste, people like nasi aron because it's savor. The delicious nasi aron and bitter ranti vegetable is able to lowering cholesterol and treating diabetes. Besides, mixture of nasi aron and spicy condiment can hold hungry until a few hours. You can find nasi aron easily in the food stalls along the road to the tourism site of Mount Bromo. The price is also affordable, which only 10,000 rupiah per portion. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder on the topic of nasi aron from East Java. We will meet again tomorrow with some more interesting topics and places. Sampai jumpa!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about National Nurse Day. Fewer Indonesian people know National Nurse Day, including the nurses themselves. Commemorating the National Nurse Day is actually to remember the first establishment of the nurse organization, Indonesian National Nurse Association, or PPNI. This organization was established on March 17, 1974. This professional organization was established because there are several nurses that need to have an organization to gather all nurses in Indonesia. This organization is aimed at organizing, developing, and increasing safe nursing practice, competence, quality, and professionalism for Indonesian people. The members of PPNI have played real role in the society by narrowing the gap in medical service, facilitating health access, improving similar quality health services. These aspects makes Marcelinus Welip determined to become a nurse in his homeland, Papua. There are also other aspects that make him want to be a nurse. The moment was when he saw a nurse taking care of his father with sincere heart. The guy often called Marcel is dedicating his life to serve and provide inspiration for other medical workers in Papua. Marcel has been working in Towe District Public Health Center in the middle of the tropical jungle in Papua. This area, mostly inhabited by native Papua people, is far from medical access. Marcel was ready to quit from his position as the head of Public Health Center Administration in Arso, Kirom, Papua, to save more than 1,900 people in 7 villages that he visits regularly. Toy District is an abbreviation of Web District Kerom. There are 7 villages, including Toe, such as Toe Atas, Toe Hitam, Milky, Lules, Terfonis,
and Tefalma. The condition in this area is very alarming because the people do not know healthy lifestyle. This is also the big reason why Marcel wants to provide health service in the area. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miss Leni that informed you about National Nurse Day. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miss Leni.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition of Music Corner presents you an Indonesian popular dangdut singer, Evi Tamala. Listener, good morning and good evening is a simple common greeting that people usually express to others in everyday life regardless of one's status in the society. But these words can give a deeper meaning when spoken to someone really special to us. Just as they describe in a song popularized by Evi Tamala, a well-known dangdut singer, entitled Selamat Malam. Listener, to begin our program, here is a song entitled Selamat Malam by Evi Tamala. Have been listening. Listener, you've just listened to a song from Indonesian popular dangdut singer Evie Tamala entitled Selamat Malam or Good Evening. The beautiful song managed to bring Evie Tamala's name to the peak of her career in the Indonesian dangdut industry. The Tasikmalaya-born singer is successfully aligned her name with this country's senior dangdut singers after getting through a long and winding road since 1987 when she first started to sing on stage in her hometown, after the first two albums that she recorded were less successful in the market. Evie Tamala finally reached her fame through the third album that she released with a track single entitled Dr. Cinta or Love Doctor. Listener, let's listen to another song by Evie Tamala entitled Dr. Cinta. Stay tuned.
Kau penerang cinta yang hampir mati. Ada mama cinta yang kini ku rasa telah hilang. Asyik menajak engkau datang. Kau penghapus derita, penghapus segala buta. Kau penerang cinta yang hampir mati. Oh, kau penyuluh hidupku. Thank you.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia, in the segment of Music Corner. And we are now giving you information about Indonesia's female dangdut singer, Evi Tamala. Since the release of the successful song entitled Love Doctor that managed to bring her name to the top of fame in the Indonesian music scene, Evi Tamala is known to have released a lot of romantic and melancholic love songs favored by dangdut lovers in this country. Listener, to wrap up today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Evi Tamala entitled Dimanapun Ada Bayanganmu. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
Dimanapun ada bayanganmu, dimanapun ada bayanganmu, di semua waktu ku ada bayangmu, kekasih. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.